This is Kevin Donahue, Senior Director with Protiviti, welcoming you to a new installment of Powerful Insights. One of the leading conferences really in the world that touches on innovation and new technologies being introduced to the financial services and payment industry is the Money 2020 conference, which took place recently in Las Vegas. Attending that event was one of Protiviti's managing directors, Tyrone Cannaday, who's going to share with us some of the kind of highlights and key points that were discussed at the event. Tyrone is a managing director with our firm, and he's a leader with Protiviti's technology consulting and strategy group, and also has a strong focus on the financial services industry. Tyrone, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Kevin.
Great. Let me get right into this, Tyrone. I know there were several areas that kind of emerged as things that were creating a lot of dialogue and conversation. One of them was artificial intelligence. Talk to me a little bit about that and how it's viewed to be, I guess, a key future growth driver.
Yeah, and I think with artificial intelligence, they actually dedicated a whole track to that on the first day at Money 2020. And I think with the way that describe artificial intelligence at this point is definitely, if you look at the proverbial Gartner hype cycle, it's at the top of the hype cycle, but you know, I think a lot of firms see the promise for it in the future. Just from the sheer fact of, you know, the adoption of digital channels and really reshaping businesses towards the customer experience. You know, one thing that that stood out is when I was actually out in Asia Pac earlier this year at a conference for the Global Payment Summit. It was just the sheer number of transactions and the adoption of mobile out in Singapore, and some of the volumes that they're dealing with companies like with TenPay and Alipay. They're working on volumes in the hundreds of thousands of transactions per second. And so when you have transaction volume that large, there's just a lot of activity that needs to happen operationally at the bank. Also from a regulatory and transaction monitoring perspective from RegTech. And then you're starting to see new technologies that are starting to emerge as well in parallel with artificial intelligence. So as you know, you've got organizations moving to these more modern architectures that are API centric and data first. They're starting to tap into new ecosystems of information and data. And so, you know, whether they're fintechs or innovative third parties, or even as we start to get into this world of IoT, you're going to start to have new data sources that are out there. And as you start to create better channel experiences for the customers, we're seeing a lot more uptake and a lot more focus on other channels, such as, you look at Alexa and some of the work around voice recognition. You've got, some of the facial recognition things that they have with the new iPhone X, and also just natural language processing. And so all these different factors are starting to come in and converge, and that's all getting translated into data. And so you have this big data aspect to it where, it's no longer going to be sufficient to have semi-manual and manual types of processes to address it. It's getting to the scale now where you're going to need more automation around that, and that's where AI starts to come in and starts to drive a lot of that processing, starts doing a lot of that analytics and machine learning around behaviors, customer behaviors, and things that that you can't do when it's not automated with AI. So that's what what a lot of the focus on was around artificial intelligence and where it's headed, and how it can start to support different companies' business models.
And Tyrone, I guess maybe in tandem with that, or maybe the flip side of that, is this. The strong need or interest among financial services organizations to advance customer experience. And I know that AI actually can help drive and advance that, but at the same time, I guess firms need to make sure it doesn't hinder that personal touch that comes with customer experience.
No, that's very true. And I think that's where a lot of firms are starting to look at is how do you start to advance customer experience and kind of almost a customer experience 2.0. And one of the main topics that was discussed at the conference was this whole concept around multimodality, where they're even starting to look at interpreting emotions, either through facial recognition or if you're doing things like chatbots and you're using natural language processing, looking at emojis and how you can start to factor that in and use AI to start to interpret that to be able to provide better responses and better experiences to your customers. And so, it's while technology is driving a lot of the change now, with new technologies in the space and how you deliver products and services. I think once you get a lot more organizations on these modern platforms, it's going to start to move and shift, all the way back towards the customer experience and customer centricity, and making sure that they're that the that you're operating where the customers are at, and making sure that that experience is superior to any competitors.
Now, Tyrone, with this drive to advance, customer experience, and you mentioned CX 2.0, and then the emergence and growth of artificial intelligence, there's also a need, as you noted earlier, with regard to innovation and maybe increasing the role of regulation and this whole emergence of reg tech. What's involved with that, and how are firms kind of looking to marry that with the development of AI and advancing customer experience?
Yeah, I think with regulation, I think there's kind of two ways to think of it. First of all is I think more at the regulatory body level. So how do you start to look at emerging technologies, and how do you have regulations start to get ahead of that and start to shape innovation towards the future? I know that, if you look at different jurisdictions, there's different different ways that they're handling that. I know in Singapore with the MAS, they've gotten functions there where, banks can tap into APIs, where they're able to do a common way to do AML and KYC and not pushing that back onto the banks to do that, but do that in a way that's more consistent, more cost-effective and transparent for the banks. And so you're going to start to see, concepts like that emerge and start to permeate through other jurisdictions. We've heard recently in the UK, with their stance on GDPR and some of the regulations that they have around their own PSD2, those are ways to think forward on open banking and open financial services, where I think we're going to start to see a lot more of that adoption here in the U.S. So I think at the regulatory level, you're going to start to see that shape new future innovation. And I think the way that RegTech is going to help is that as that starts to shape regulation and policy for the different banks, just through the sheer number of transactions that has been mentioned before, in addition to all this new data that's coming in, whether it's structured or unstructured, we start to see, new information coming in from IoT, where you've got beacons and sensors. Different organizations are using data in different ways. And so to be able to parse through all this information, to be able to, report out to the regulators, whether it's through regulatory reporting, or whether it's through suspicious activity on various transactions, just to deal with that sheer volume, you're going to have to leverage functions like RegTech to help simplify that, to make it consistent, and provide the operational efficiencies that you're going to need going forward.
Tyrone, I know another big issue that kind of was discussed a lot at the event was the future of banks. Now, in the context of everything you've been talking to us about today with regard to AI, customer experience, and regulation, in your view, what is the future of banks?
I think the future of banks is very interesting, and there's been a lot of different conversations around it. I think a lot of organizations are really trying to transform themselves to really operate as a financial service institution of the future. But it really boils down to looking at data and building everything up atomically from the data, and being able to source data as a commodity. So as you start to look at it from the source to the internal systems of your organization, how can you structure and store data that's clean, that's organized, and that you can do multiple things with it, right? You can start to look at customer behaviors. You can start to look at how do you create new products and services. How do you start to marry that with other types of data from other institutions to kind of come up with multiplier or net new types of insights that you didn't have before? One of the sessions I thought that was the most insightful, spoke towards this in the last day. They had the CEO of ING and also the head of Goldman Sachs, Marcus, talk about how they envision, digital banking in the future of that platform. And some of the takeaways from that I thought were pretty interesting and really what you're starting to see at a lot of the institutions. But, a lot of the technology companies that are coming out there, they're coming out with these platform plays that are, that are gaining a lot of market share with customers that are on the platform. So you've got, platforms like WeChat, you've got platforms like Venmo, which are just, from a customer experience standpoint, just easier to use. And so you're seeing a lot of adoption with those types of tools. And so, the future of banking is going to resemble something where it's going to be on a platform or needs to integrate with other types of platforms. It's going to need to be open and built on these open architectures where data is going to be able to be shared between different institutions. Obviously, mobile adoption is going to be huge. And so as you start to operate where the client is, through these different digital channels, most people are on mobile right now. But as that starts to evolve and you start to move away from mobile and start to get more towards interfaces and voice recognition, we're going to start to see a lot of non-device types of interfaces. And then also around customer experience, how do you start to look at that data once you're able to gather that and start to collect other channels of data? How do you start to look at that and start to personalize it more? How do you start to make it a little bit more accessible to the individual based on their specific situation? That's becoming more and more of a trend. And then also, with these new modern architectures, how do you start to scale that? And one of the issues that we're starting to see at organizations now as they start to move towards this digital future is that, we start to see the unsexy side of innovation and fintech is how do you start to scale across organizations? And so, these cloud architectures where you're able to spin up and get new data, get more processing power, those are going to be important aspects. So that's what we're starting to see in terms of the future of financial service platforms.
Thanks, Tyrone. Let me ask you one last question that ties in some of the themes you've been talking about today. Technology clearly is creating a sea change now, but the future of financial services likely will settle back on distribution, consumption, and customer experience. What exactly does that mean for banks and financial services firms today?
Well, I think what it means is that there's going to be an imperative to get off legacy systems as quickly as you can, because I think that's going to be the largest inhibitor to making sure that you can deliver the customer experiences that your customers today and in the future are going to demand. And so, as you get to these modern architectures, it's going to be really about not just getting there, but it's going to be a continual destination of how do you start to continually perfect the customer experiences, anticipating needs, looking through data, understanding your customer behaviors, and really providing that high-level personalization. This may require partnerships with other innovative third parties or other types of firms that you never contemplated before. But really, it's going to be, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out over the coming years. But I think it's going to be that battle for keeping the stickiness of the consumer and how do you incent the consumer going forward to stick with your platform.
And Tyrone, I guess this would be especially a challenge, these legacy systems, for firms that are competing with other companies that were kind of, quote, born digital and aren't battling with these legacy systems, but started with these cloud-based systems already in place.
That's true. And it's going to be difficult, and it's going to be increasingly so for the institutions that continue to stay on legacy. What we're seeing is that, the institutions that are moving towards these modern architectures and we're calling them the digital leaders, they're starting to collaborate with other digital leaders and with that exponentially growing different capabilities and services that, that the digital laggards are not going to be able to provide. And so you're going to start to see a big widening of the gap between digital leaders and digital laggards. We just put out a recent study, as there's a Wealth 2022 study that's been put out, and it actually quantifies some of these penalties that digital laggards are going to face, which I think for every $1 billion of revenue annually, there's going to be roughly $79 million in penalties that they're going to face if they don't move to these modern architectures and platforms. However, on the flip side, I think for the digital leaders, the institutions that are investing in technology well are going to see major performance gains, in assets under management and revenues and market share, and these are in the high 6 to 8% increases in growth.
Tyrone, thanks very much for joining me today to discuss some of these very topical and truly hot issues for financial services organizations. You mentioned the Wealth Asset Management Study that Protiviti was a part of. I want to invite Those in our audience interested in more information to access that study, as well as a wealth of other information on customer experience, fintech, blockchain, digital transformation, and so forth, all of these can be found at Protivity.com.